Daniel chapter number 3 this morning. Once again, it is good to see you here. Holiday weekend, and maybe some of you got something special going on tomorrow. Wednesday starts school. Why am I the only one smiling? What? Liam, did you not hear me? Wednesday starts school. All right, that'll get a smile on him. Good. You say his name. That's what it is. Daniel, chapter number 3. The men's shoot is at 3 o'clock. It is. I looked it up. So if you were wondering, that is the time for that on the 25th. We have some special guests with us here today. We've got some boys over here. We got a dear family over here, so praise the Lord. After service, make sure you get over there and welcome them. Anybody else visiting with us for the first time? Brother Rice, first time? All right, good. It's good to have you. Be careful if you come for the first time. We'll make you a song leader and force you to teach junior church. How'd it go in junior church today? Good. Praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord. Daniel chapter number 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits. And the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. We're familiar with the story. This is going to be the story of 3 young boys that refused to bow and worship. I want to say this thought before we even start. This is not a political message. It is easy to find yourself in life circumstances and immediately make an application and say, oh, this must be what it's talking about. But I want you to recognize the message here this morning. It's about faith. All right? So just take politics and put it aside. The setting here is that there's some young men in a place where, quite honestly, they've been taken captive. These are Hebrew children living in Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar, in his pride and his arrogancy, says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make an image, and I'm going to make you worship it. Worship. That's what it's about. It's about worship here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to assemble together. God, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray with open hearts we come to it this morning. And God, that you would just tread upon our hearts. God, I pray that you'd help us to contend for the faith. Lord, we sure do love you. We are thankful for your long-suffering and patience towards us. And Lord, I pray that, as it's been already prayed, maybe someone here today does not know you as Savior. That their sins have not been settled once for all. Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they put their complete faith and trust in you. Lord, for the Christians that are here, I pray that they'd be strengthened in their faith. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're familiar again with the story, Nebuchadnezzar being our, as we look at this, the enemy. Again, if you got a good Western, you got to have a good guy, but you got to have a good bad guy. And that's why these stories just jump off the page to us, right? Nebuchadnezzar, the evil king. And sure enough, he executes his plan. Sometimes we come up with bad plans. Ever come up with a bad plan, run it by somebody, and they protected you from making a dumb decision? Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar is surrounded by people that are what we would consider yes men, or people that just are vile and wicked in their ways and care nothing about the things of God. And so when he comes up and says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build an image so high, so wide, and everybody's going to worship it. They're like, that's a great idea. Not one says, you might want to rethink that. Thankful for people in my life that we've come up with bad ideas. Hey, might want to rethink that. He comes up with this decree in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 5. It says that at that that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. See, this message, again, it's not a political message. It's a message about worship. It's about faith. He says, here's what's going to happen. Not only are we going to have a giant image, not only is everybody going to bow down and worship it, but we're going to queue when it's all going to happen. We're going to gather everybody together. We're going to have every citizen here. And when that music plays, everybody bows and worships. That's the plan. Verse 6, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. That's quite the alternative. You don't worship this false idol, we're tossing you, we're going to burn you alive, he says. That's the plan. We read this, and again, may we not approach this passage with familiarity and say, oh, this is a kid's story. May we not come to this passage and say, this doesn't apply to me. I'm not forced in any way to bow down and worship. I'm actually here by free choice with my Bible in hand, sang the songs. Lord stirred in my heart, got a blessing from the Runyons, singing, God makes no mistakes. Isn't that good? Look back in our life and know that God has never made a mistake in our life. And here we come to Daniel chapter 3, a familiar story. We see the setting. We see the plan. We also see the problem. In verse 10, thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Say, what's the problem? Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And their names are such, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. When it comes to worship, I'm going to ask you, I want you to consider this. What would you have done? Would you have been one of the ones that stood when everybody fell? When everybody knelt down, when everybody bowed to worship the golden image, you know what? I could make it look like I'm bowing to the golden image, but I'm going to pray to the God of heaven. You know what? I don't want to cause troubles. In my heart, God, you know my heart. I got a family here. I don't want to. But the problem was that there were some three boys that stood up and said, can't do it. They've gone along with a lot of things. They've changed their language. They've changed their teachings. They've changed their custom. They've changed their residence. They're not trying to overthrow King Nebuchadnezzar. They just cannot, in their hearts, worship like this. They won't do it. Which causes a problem. Verse 15. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? That's pretty much drawing a line in the sand, huh? Brings them before the king. Three guys. He asked them very point blank, are you going to worship or not? Verse 15. He says this. Now if ye, verse 15 is one of our key verses for this morning, so please pay attention to verse 15. Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, he gives them a second chance. He goes, maybe you didn't understand the rules here. Maybe you didn't understand. Maybe you didn't get the memo quite right. Maybe there was something lost in translation. Let me express it to you directly. When the music plays, you worship. He says, "You shall be cast in the same, if you don't, you shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." I want you to pay attention to the end of verse 15. "And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Nebuchadnezzar just made a mistake. Say, what about the image? Oh, the image was wrong. Forcing people to worship, it's wrong. But he called into question their God. I don't know if he would have said, "Hey, listen, you do this and I'll let you build a temple over here." No, he was very clear. He almost belittles their God. He says, Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" I think Nebuchadnezzar was speaking true. He didn't know the God of heaven. I love their answer. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.'" He says, "I don't even know how to answer that. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." He says, if God delivers us, praise the Lord. If not, can you please record it down? Can you please write it in the annals of Babylon history, the history of Nebuchadnezzar? There were three that would not bow down and worship your God. Because we serve the God of heaven. That is their response. Say, how did that go? Hot. He was furious. He was beyond mad. He turns up the furnace 7 times hotter. I don't know what that means, or I don't know if he throws black locust in there or something like that to really get the BTUs up, whatever it is, but he's got guys that take them and throw them into the prison. They die just getting them in the prison or into the furnace. That's hot. Ever get so close to the fire, like you just... Say, why are you doing that? Because that's how you roast marshmallows. This is what you do. This furnace was created to burn men. First we saw the setting, the plan, the problem, the decree, the answer. And now we see the furnace. Verse 21. "Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." The men died that put these three men in. That's hot. So what happened next? Can I remind you, when God is involved in things, sometimes the unexplainable and unpredictable happens. When you're just faithful to the Lord and worshiping Him and drawing a line in the sand and saying, "I will not compromise in this area of my faith," it's amazing what God just shows up. In verse 25, that's exactly what happened. "And he said and said, 'Lo, I see 4 men loose.'" Hey, did one of the guards start walking around? What's happening? "Walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." I don't know what that looked like. I don't know if there was a glory about him or a shine or whatever it was. But there somehow, kind of like a wood stove, there was a window. And Nebuchadnezzar could see inside the fiery furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are doing, rock, paper, scissors, or whatever it is. They're doing something. They're moving around in there. And the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself, shows up in there. There's 4 guys in there. reminding me again that when you take a stand for your faith, it's amazing how God just gets real close. These three were willing to die. Whatever you want. God, if you want to deliver us, great. If not, they said, mark it down. Let it be known there were three that didn't bow. The miracle. Verse 26, and Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. Calls them out. Hey, the fire's not doing what it was supposed to do. Nebuchadnezzar is overwhelmed by what he's watching, and he sends out a second decree. He sends out another a command, if you will, a new decree. Look at verse 29. Now, let us remember verse 15. The end of verse 15 said what? He said these exact words, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? To which we agree, he did not know the God of heaven. Who is that God? Verse 29, therefore I make a decree. This is Nebuchadnezzar, the same man that built the image, that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. That's about 15, 14 verses. What a change of heart. It went from, who is this God that can deliver you? To, if anybody speaks anything about the God that can deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace is in big trouble with me. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. There were three young men that lived a separated life. There is a movement among Christianity today that says, try to assimilate and look like the world. That will draw the world to worship like you. The very thing that turned a wicked, evil king around was the greater difference between worshiping God in a spirit and in truth and right. Is what changed his life. Changed his complete understanding of the whole thing. Jude chapter number 1 and verse 3. Turn there. Say, were those the points? I was trying to write things down. The setting, the plan, the problem, the decree, the answer, the furnace, the miracle, the command, and then another decree. Is that, are we done? Like, is this it? I have bad news. That was the introduction. But the second half is shorter than the first, so we'll. But I want you to get this thought. I want in your Bibles to be written a cross-reference at Daniel chapter 3 and verse 15 to Daniel chapter 3 and verse 29. In Jude chapter 3, it says, or chapter 1 in verse 3, it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Again, this isn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not looking to take over the government of Babylon. They were not starting a revolution. They were contending for their faith. And as Christians, sometimes we get misguided in things. I need to contend for this political party, or I need to contend for this philosophy or whatever. No, what we need to contend for is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's some things that have been entrusted to us, and the Bible says are most precious. I have children in this room. I have some. Where are my kids? Just one? Where's Joe? Teaching Sunday school. Sophie? Did she make it? Sunday school also. Sam's out of town. Hudson's in Sunday school. I have a precious child here. This works out better because then they can't be like, well, you think this one's more precious. They're all precious. And you go to show some harm towards her, I'm going to contend. We've been entrusted with something very special and precious to us. The Christian has missed on the opportunity to contend for the faith. For the faith. Do you hear that? It's for the faith. It's about worship. And we have yielded the battle of worship in our hearts and say, well, you know, God will take me. I know I'm not all the best, and we all sin, and there's no need to necessarily separate myself from somebody else or something else. No, quite the contrary. I want to remind you of the power of separation. We see that in Daniel chapter 3. We saw a group that was unwilling to conform to the ways of the world. Unwilling. We saw a willingness to stand for the truth. When was the last time you stood for the truth? Listening to people belittle the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you can't talk about my God like that. Willing to stand for the truth. Unwilling to even answer for themselves, though. I love that. We're not quite sure what God's going to do, but I'm gonna just say this. Whatever He does is going to be right. And we're just going to stick with, we are willing to stand in faith with His principles. That's what separation looks like. Unwilling to conform to the ways of the world. Willing to stand for truth. Unwilling to even answer for themselves. Well, we make a great mistake when we say, let me tell you what I think. Mm-mm. Let me tell you what God thinks. This is what God thinks. How much do you believe the principles of the Word of God? To the point of death? Would you take them all the way? 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll just look at some verses here. I pray that the Lord stir in your hearts. Hey, let's not get soft concerning the gospel. Let's not get soft concerning our faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I'm not saying we be belligerent. I'm not saying that we be mean and aggressive, but we stand fast. We hold to that line of Christianity. We stop the compromise. We've seen the videos and pictures of people burning flags, and man, that stirs in our heart. Man, if I was there, oh man, that would be a different scene, let me tell you. Are you fighting the good fight of faith, though? Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians 1:27. Oh, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Do you see what's important, what's worth fighting for? The gospel. They went along with the language change. They went along with the clothes, the name change. But when they said, you got to worship a false god, they said, I cannot. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Say, Pastor, this message gets me going. I get excited. I've been saving bullets for this very moment. This isn't what I'm talking about here. We're not looking to start a militia here. Just asking that you stay faithful to the Word of God. The principles of the Word of God. Hey, remember back in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is in the garden. Judas comes and kisses Christ. They take hold of him. Peter does what? Takes out a sword and cuts off the high priest's ear. Jesus says, Peter, put that sword away. Put it away. And he goes over and he takes the ear and he mends it on the high priest's head. We're not trying to start a revolution. Peter, I want you to stay faithful to the things I've told you. Never once did I ever harm somebody, did I ever look to hurt somebody physically. I look to minister to people. As Christians, we think, oh, I gotta fight, and fight with a love and care and affection and kindness and the gospel. Separate yourself from the things of the world. Hey, our young people, our Christians these days, are doing everything they can to look exactly like the world, but God lives inside my heart. There ought to be a separation about our life. There ought to be something that's distinct and different between our speech, between our conduct, between our approach, our joy. So when the decree comes and says, bow and worship, I'm not doing that. I will not falsely go against the principles of the Scriptures. Jude chapter number 1. Look at verse 18. There's some people that are saying some very wrong things about Christianity. I'm not saying you got to go find them out and just blast them, but be aware that they're not coming to your house. Jude chapter 1 and verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. There should be a separation between that and the people of God. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Don't be ashamed of being righteous and holy, godly. Oh, I get accused of being legalistic, or, hey, God says it's holy. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Is there a separation between your life and the ways of the world? Imagine if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lived exactly like the Babylonians. Well, I'm just praying for an opportunity to be able to talk to Nebuchadnezzar, and maybe, do you understand, it was their separation that brought that about. Known to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. There's a spiritual separation that should happen. When the truths of the Scriptures are right here, and there's a group that goes this way, stay here. Don't wander. Say, well, then, you know, that the drop of standards is directly associated with a lack of separation. Spiritually speaking, doctrinally speaking, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Second Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye received of us. Hey, when they wander away from the Scriptures, let them wander. We ought not to be the one wandering away. Second Corinthians chapter number 6. Last passage. And then we'll bring this all together. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Young lady, young man, I don't care how pretty, how handsome he is, she is, whatever that is. If they're lost and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, don't touch it. Don't touch it. If you got saved and you're in the relationship, you're married and your spouse is lost and you're saved, Bible says stick with it if you can. But don't jump into that relationship. It says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Now let's look at this with us. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, I can in good conscience bow and worship. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, in that next phrase, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Have you allowed sin to come into your life? Have you found the attraction of the world to be attractive? What was it that sent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego apart? It was their separation. What influenced King Nebuchadnezzar? It was their separation, their willingness to contend for the faith. I encourage you here this morning, don't compromise. Don't give up on the truths of the Scripture. I understand it takes faith. I understand sometimes it's difficult. I understand sometimes you just... But the principles of the Word of God are always true and amen. And all too often we see Christianity just... I like cranberry juice. I'm here to admit it. I like it. I don't like it watered down. I like straight cranberry juice. Well, I mean, not the concentrate stuff. That's strong. We made that mistake one time. Don't water down your faith. Say, well, I'll be able to appease others. It was the very separation that brought God glory. Stand for what is right. Again, don't be mean. We're not being nasty. But contend for the faith. The weakest army is one that has not been trained, is not prepared for battle. That's why we have practices, right? That's why the army and our armed forces run drills. So when the real thing hits, we're ready. And there's a possibility in our own hearts that we get content in our faith rather than contend for the faith. We just kind of sit back and we allow the world to penetrate our life and our homes. We don't stand at the door and say, no, that's not coming in. And then when it's time to fight, we're weak. When it's time to take that stand, we've not been properly trained. There was a group of young boys that were unwilling to conform to the ways of the world. There was a group of young men willing to stand for what is right and what is true according to the scriptures. That were unwilling to answer for themselves. They said, I'll let God answer for us. But willing to have faith in the principles. I'm going to ask you to evaluate your life here today. It's about worship and faith. It's not politics here. I want you to understand that. I know there's a lot of goofy things going on and say, this is just the fuel, this is just the message I needed to... No, this is about worship. This is about our relationship with Christ. This is about a holy living. It's about faith. I'm going to ask you this. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Hey, we're all sinners. And because of that sin, there's a penalty. If you've never asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin, in just a moment, we're going to all stand and Miss Huber's going to come and she'll play on the piano and we'll have something called an invitation. There's a little altar up here. Say, what is that? That's these steps. And you could come and just... You could come stand right here and allow someone to show you from the scriptures what it means to be a Christian. So I don't know what you were talking about. I'm not quite sure I want to sign up for that. The greatest problem is our sin. And if we simply acknowledge our sin, ask the Lord to forgive us, you know what He will? He will do just that. Christian, was there a time when you contended for the faith? Say, what'd that look like? Hi, my name's, we're from, can I tell you about Jesus Christ? Was there a time that you were bolder in your witness at work, amongst your friends, amongst your family? Was there a time when your life didn't look anything like the world? But you let it slip a little bit. Can I encourage you here this morning? Maybe to get back to that. Again, not that we live in arrogance. And not that we're mean. But we take the principles of the scriptures and apply them directly to our life. And you know what that does? That begins to sort people out. Because holy living is different than worldly living. Let's all stand. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And we know that. Once I'm saved, I'm forever saved. Once for all, right? Praise the Lord. Settled. But there are some things that I can do in my life that do cause a wedge in our fellowship. In a moment, we'll have an invitation. Maybe there's something in your life. Maybe you've allowed the ways of the world to get in a little bit. Maybe you've forgotten to stand for truth. It's just easier not to. Neglected some of the principles. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for those three men. It had faith. Either you would deliver them or somehow you would get honor and glory from their life. Unwilling to falsely worship. Lord, I pray that you would help us in our faith to not allow the world to get a hold and water down our faith, but that we would contend for it, fight for it, stand for it. Lord, I ask you bless this time of invitation now. And Lord, if you stirred in someone's heart that they would be obedient to come and talk to you. I pray if someone here today isn't saved, they would come and allow someone to show them from the scriptures what it means to be a child of God. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today?